This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
So Santi's back, ear to ear smiling. When your team eventually soils themselves, which will happen, when Mike McCarthy forgets how many timeouts he has or that the clock is running and he can't see it appropriately, they will fall apart at some point this year. I'm going to be there.
I'm not apologizing for anything. I thoroughly enjoyed myself.
No, I know you did. I root for the Giants now, and I am so anti-Cowboys. I was anti-Cowboys. Stop it!
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
You're going to watch everything the team does like a hawk, huh? You know what that sounds like to me, Dave? Like you're a Cowboy fan.
Please.
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, I'm not going to go back there. It's DPHRO, it's Rothenberg with you on a Thursday morning. By the way, my friend, this is a big sports night.
No, this is a huge sports night. What are you
kidding
me?
This is not like last night where you have the Rangers and they get blown out. And you're like, all right, you know what? I can shut it off and be done a little early. This is a Rangers home opener, Thursday night football, game five, maybe the biggest postseason game, maybe that we'll see the entire postseason between the Giants and the Dodgers.
And you got Islanders, too. So come on, don't bury the lead.
Well, I don't know that that's the lead.
Let's talk about the best hockey team in the city. Stop.
That is the Islanders. I will concur with that 100%. But this is a sports night. What are the Islanders in Carolina tonight?
Carolina, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mild stomping grounds.
Well, that'll be a team, too. I mean, that's going to be one of the teams that they're going to compete against here in that division.
They're good, Carolina.
Carolina's a good team. Well coached.
Very, very good. So, are you sacrificing sleep tonight? Or are you going to do DVR and 2 a.m. kind of guy tonight?
No, I got to sacrifice a little bit of sleep at least.
How late? Because you got to figure, football ends 11:20-ish, right?
Let's be honest, we're both hoping they're playing the Eagles. We're hoping by halftime you can shut it off is what you're hoping.
24-3 at the half, please. Just bury them. Now, is there a chance that this is your survivor pick of the week?
No.
No.
I'm already kind of locked in on my survivor pick.
I know where you're going.
Where?
You want me to say it?
You know where it is because you're probably going the same one.
I don't know that I can bring myself to do that, but I don't blame you for it at all.
Well, tell me then.
I think you're taking the Rams.
Nope. I already took the Rams.
Oh. Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Dave, you took the Rams also.
So I can't take the Rams.
No, you cannot take the Rams.
It's out of your hands.
I've taken the Rams, Browns, Arizona,
Buffalo, and the Colts, Patriots. Then. You might be taking the Colts.
You could be onto something there. Could be onto something there.
So, but tonight's game, you'll not. So are you pushing the limits tonight? Is this a midnight kind of a situation?
No.
Here's what I understand. You would agree that up to this point, this is the game of the baseball season, right?
Yes.
Red Sox certainly was terrific and a lot of juice around it. But this game, I mean, these are, you could argue, the best two teams in baseball. This is Giants-Dodgers, which is very close to Yankees-Red Sox. And the winner of this will now become the favorite to win the whole thing. How do you not stay up and stay entertained with this all the way through?
Because I have no real rooting interest in the game. I mean, I'm gonna watch the entirety of the game, but I mean, I'm gonna sit through commercials and everything else for a reason.
Because it's a huge game.
Well, that's fine. It's a huge game. I mean, I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I haven't looked at my phone. I have no idea who will win.
So you'll watch it as if it's live.
I'm gonna watch both hockey games. I'm gonna watch as much of the football game as I can, and then see. I don't think you truly understand how much time you save fast forwarding through commercials.
You see, what you don't understand
changes everything.
And I do understand that, but what you do not understand is, for whatever reason, I think there are people listening right now that hear this that will take my side. I don't know why. There's something different for me in watching a game live. I don't know why. I'm not saying it's rational. You have no impact on the game. But I would prefer to stay up later and get less sleep on that side than to wake up earlier and fast forward through certain parts of the game.
Normally, okay, just so you know, normally under circumstances where I don't have to wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, right, I would absolutely 100% stay up and watch the whole game live.
So if we're doing noon to 3.
I'm up.
You are up Giants-Dodgers till whenever.
Yeah, because I can afford to be up. I can't. I don't get to nap when the show's over. That's the thing. So whatever sleep I lose that night, I don't make up. So, I mean, I'm from 8 a.m. I mean, that's when the day really gets started. Like, this is like Santiago going on vacation to Dallas this 3 hours. As we talk about sports, we laugh, we bust each other's chop. This is like, for me, this is like going to the locker room a couple extra hours early before practice to hang out.
And then it gets serious after this.
Yeah, and then this is when, puck drops and now it's business.
Yeah, I just can't do it. I just can't. So I will stay up as late as I can, as long as my eyes will stay open tonight, and I'll watch everything.
You know what's amazing to anyone listening that has kids? How different each one of your kids is. Like the personality of each one of your kids. Like my other two, like, and you don't realize at this time because it's your first one, right? Like he was, but now compared to Rocco, the last one, like Milo was a saint. He was an angel.
Rocco's not easy, huh?
Oh, like he would sleep, and even if he woke up, like, and I'd put him on my chest on the lazy boy, and he would sleep fine, no big deal. He just wanted to cuddle. This one is a savage, man. Like he's into like the second you open the baby gate, it's like a shark smelling blood. Like I went on a fishing trip to Vancouver, right? Fishing for salmon, and it was amazing, dude. There's like orca whales swimming under your boat. Like you could throw bait up, and the eagles would come down and grab the bait. But like these sea lions, these humongous sea lions would, because you'd fish by the rocks where the sea lions hang out, they would wait till they heard your line go. So for people that fish, like you catch a fish, all of a sudden it comes on with the drag and you hear zzzz like that. You can hear the fish run with the line. They would hear it and they would just, because they're smart enough, obviously, they would just swim up, wait for you to reel the thing all the way into the boat almost, and they would just come and steal the salmon off your line.
Oh, genius.
Yeah, it's like you just did all the work for him. Like, this kid can hear, like, the second a gate opens or a door opens, the kid, like Usain Bolt, he's just sprinting out the freaking door.
So it's fair to say he's not an easy baby.
No. Oh, no, dude. He is.
If he
everyone's
was
like,
your
oh,
first.
Have the third one. They're the easiest.
If he was your first, would you have three now?
No. There's no chance.
Well, then you're lucky he was your third. Yeah, you'll appreciate it one day.
Yeah, but everyone lied. So I'll have another one.
They're all liars.
You make cute babies. They're the easiest one. Yeah, right.
Big, big, huge liars. You know who doesn't lie? Stephen A. doesn't lie. Never has, never will. He's not happy with one Kyrie Irving. He says, in fact, he's selfish for leaving the team. Here he is yesterday on First Take.
We're talking about Kyrie Irving not showing up for the Brooklyn Nets after he got guys to show up for the Brooklyn Nets. And here you go bringing up all of that other stuff. We can do that. We can do that. But I wasn't trying to do that. That's where I'm calling him selfish. You know, I'm questioning his right. He has the right to do it. He also has the right to go the hell away then. Retire. Retire then. Because you left your teammates hanging.
No, he told us last night he will not be retiring. You think he's a bad teammate?
I don't know if I would go as far as Stephen A. went. I think that's completely different set of circumstances. I mean, you making the decision with Kevin Durant to come to Brooklyn and try to win a championship. I get it. You help recruit the guys there. You help recruit James Harden there. But, I mean, no one foresaw a pandemic happening.
Of course not.
And he was told, obviously, you heard last night, he was told that he'd be able to play. He would be allowed to play unvaccinated. And I don't know exactly what the reason is for why he doesn't want to be vaccinated. I mean, he's not alone. There's still a lot of people that have questions or just don't want to find out how their body will react to getting the vaccine. But no, I don't know about that. Like, this is not a normal kind of decision that you have. This is not like I'm going to play through injury. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know if this guy, was milking this injury. He's being selfish right now. This is a lot bigger than that.
Do you think? And again, we don't know, and this is pure speculation.
I think, let me just add this because I'll forget. Yeah. I think it's easier for Stephen A to come to that conclusion because of what you saw last year and what you've seen, like the pattern of behavior from Kyrie.
Right, where this just kind of falls in line rather than this is an isolated incident.
Yes.
Yes, because he did this with a completely separate topics, and we didn't really know why he didn't play last year.
Yeah, we had no idea. And that's why, I mean, when you hear Kyrie last night kind of be upset, like calling people puppets and everything else, I'm not going to retire. Well, I mean, no one's heard from you. So, if you have people on your side that are leaking out to media members like, hey, if they think about trading him, he's going to retire, so they can't trade him. I mean, that's all you have to go on. That's what you're reacting to. So, I mean, clear the air. I mean, set the record straight, which he did last night, kind of.
Listen, you're a pro athlete, so you have a little more insight, although I don't know how much weight it carries in this question. Do you think closed door, James Harden, Kevin Durant, not being recorded, no one ever finds out what is said, that those guys are saying, like, oh, come on, for God's sakes, would you just get the shot and show up and stop with this stuff?
Well, I think it depends. It's tough to answer that question because I don't know the conversations that they've had. Like, if James Harden even said yesterday when they asked him, I think, hey, have you spoke to Kyrie since the decision? He's like, no, I haven't even talked to him yet. Like, if they're as close as we think they are, we heard that they are, I would imagine that the conversation would include, like, hey, Kyrie, like, just explain to us so we know, so we can support you as to why you're not getting the shot. Like, I got it. James got it. You know, the rest of the guys in the
They've
team
all
got it. So just if you just explain it to us, and because I mean we're friends and we want to support you, just explain to us why. I think they were probably more aggravated last year about what happened
in vanishing for no reason.
Yeah, exactly right.
Although maybe vanishing last year and then doing this year, they feel way about that. Possible.
I know, it's just a real interesting. I mean, the fact that we're having this conversation right now it's a tough conversation because you don't. Like, I don't really know why Kyrie doesn't feel comfortable getting it.
Yeah, but he clearly doesn't. Let's take a listen to James Harden. Said he respects Kyrie's decision, and he's now focused on the start of the season.
I have no say-so in that, and, you know, I can only state my opinion, and we got to continue to move forward. You know, we all had conversations. Sean, Steve, me, KD, Kyrie, we all had conversations. Kyrie believes in his beliefs, and he stands firm and strong on that. And for us, we respect it. You know, we all love Kai, but as far as us, we have a job to do.
I mean, we have a job to do, so we'll go focus on it, but he's not beholden to do the job?
Well, everyone's different, though, here. Time out, though. Everyone is different. And, I mean, this is a unique situation because we're talking about a pandemic and a vaccine, right? As opposed to, like, we'd have conversations in the locker room because each guy, and you see it throughout every single sport. Right. I mean, one of the beautiful things about hockey that I love is, you know, guy gets, you know, hit in the face with a slap shot, breaks his jaw, and then goes to the locker room and comes back and he's got a shield on, but he's still playing. Like, but everyone's different, man. Like, some guys will play with, you know, will play through injury. Some guys won't play through injury. And there'll be times in a locker room that you'll have conversations about, like, what's this guy doing, man? Like, come on, you got to fight through this. You got to play through this. We're trying to win. Like, those conversations happen in locker rooms all the time. I just don't know this is kind of a different situation with, you know, vaccinations and everything else.
It is different, but I think on the heels of what it was last year, now this is a second straight year where he's left the team. I think that if this is a one-time isolated thing, at least for me, it's a lot easier to deal with than, I mean, he did the same thing last year, and now he's doing it again.
Yeah, I'm sure the guys on that team are having a hard time wrapping their mind around why he, like, we got it. We're fine. Like, why doesn't he want to get it? I'm sure that's something that they've thought about.
I'm sure it is. And that's Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. DiPietro and Rothenberg with you, presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. The NHL is back on ESPN. And don't miss our very own, the one and only, Rick DiPietro, on the coverage all season long. You can find your favorite team streaming on ESPN Plus this season, starting with the Wild and the Ducks tomorrow, October the 15th. Again, that's the NHL. Streaming on ESPN Plus. Subscribe now.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You saw, and I teased it, and Santi's like, you know, sometimes you kind of overdo the tease. Not in this case. Like, what was said about the Yankees last night by an all-time great in the game of baseball was nothing short of savage.
Oh, yeah. No, it was savage, all right.
Savage. You want to hear what... listen, you can say you like him, you don't, you're turned off by him. You cannot question the greatness of Pete Rose as a player, right?
No. Charlie Hustle,
this?
No.
You ready for this?
Of course I'm ready for it, yeah.
Okay. He says, that was the worst bleeping lineup they could have put on the field. That's what he told USA Today's Bob Nightingale. They're 6, 7, 8, and 9 hitters were all out men. They had to have Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton do something. If they didn't, all the pressure was on Gallo. You saw how that worked out. You say, all right, Dave, that's not that bad. Listen to this. How does someone who didn't even play every day strike out 213 times? Ray Charles wouldn't strike out that much. I just can't imagine striking out 213 times without killing myself. That is Pete Rose.
At first glance, you may have thought he was talking about Ray Santiago playing softball, but
he's not.
He was not.
You're talking about your left fielder, Joey Gallo.
Listen, I mean, does he go over the top there at the end? Yeah, he goes over the top there at the end. But, I mean, as far as their lineup was concerned, Gallo, you know, hitting cleanup, you lost LeMahieu. He wasn't available. So it shortens your lineup. So now, you know, with analytics and everything else, you want to split up righties. Gallo ends up being right there in the four hole, which, again, between Judge getting sent and everything else, was a real problem. Because Gallo, I don't know if it's New York, whatever it is, he struggled, to say the very least. And in that game, I mean, and we went over this for, you know, the couple days after the game, once you got past Stanton, 4-9 in your lineup was 1-20, and the one hit was an Urshela infield single.
In which he barely made contact on.
Exactly right. And they struck out 8 times.
But how, I mean, listen, Pete Rose, you could say he's a little bit off and he's a different kind of guy and he's done things that are certainly, at a minimum, unsavory, possibly illegal. But to have a guy that is a legendary baseball player viciously attack the Yankees and just go right after Gallo, I mean, you have to take notice, no?
Well, of course you do. But I think that, I mean, what he's saying too is also where the game is at, though. Right? Like, I think the problem a lot of people like Pete Rose, a lot of people that call into the show that are, you know, old school baseball fans, they have a real problem with analytics. And the reason why they have a problem with analytics is because of, you know, I grew up, you grew up playing baseball. I mean, you were embarrassed when you struck out. You never wanted to strike out.
Well, like, I even if you're just striking out is something that's kind of understood at this point, but not like this.
Not like this. Like, could you imagine getting up to the plate and looking up at your average on the board and it's 202? I'd be embarrassed. Right? And that's not something that it's a big deal right now for the people in analytics. And I think
this guy is.
But here's the thing though, Dave. I think a guy like Pete Rose, I think a guy like, I mean, you name a guy in the past, like even A-Rod, I think to a certain degree sometimes has a problem with it, is these analytics guys, they've never played the sport. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to marginalize, you know, a guy's experience playing the sport. Like, oh, no, you don't need, why would you need experience? It's all about numbers. It's all about matchups.
Yeah, but how could you look at these numbers and be okay with them? Rick, can I run through Gallo's numbers with you?
Oh, please do. They're tremendous.
I mean, 2017, plays 145 games, gets 532 at-bats, hits 209.
Yeah, but how many home runs?
41.
What was his on-base percentage?
Not great. 333.
How many walks?
75. How many strikeouts? 196.
What was his OPS?
869.
Okay. So it's home runs, it's walks.
It's home runs and walks and strikeouts. That's what he is. Next year.
Well, because if you strike out, you can't hit into a double play, which is stupid.
Great.
It's the dumbest
next year,
thing ever.
He hits 206, strikes out 207 times. His on-base is 312. His OPS is 810.
How many home runs?
40 and 92 RBIs.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. He plays a good outfield and hits 40 bombs.
2020, the obviously COVID season, played 60 games, hits 181. 181?
It's awful. It's awful. But again, I mean, the only way this changes is that you incentivize guys to actually make contact with the baseball is what you do. I mean, why do you think Jeff McNeil all of a sudden start hitting home runs? Because that's what they want. That's what you get paid to do. I mean, hopefully, I mean, everything, you know, everything is cyclical. So hopefully it comes back, you know, more around to, you know, guys that make more contact. Because, I mean, that's what baseball needs right now. I mean, it's hurting the game. I don't care what anyone says.
It's terrible. I mean, listen to this now. So he played 57 games last year, right? When there was 60 games. He struck out 79 times.
How many plate appearances? How many at-bats?
Okay. He struck out 79 of 226 plate appearances.
There's three real outcomes. And then, I mean, look at the guy. What's funny is he hits all these home runs in...
Shouldn't put fielders out there.
Well, you can count the amount of times that he's had a sack fly on one hand, which is
incredible.
It's still it boggles my mind.
Kay said it. I heard it. Callers called me on Saturday with it, and I still can't believe it. I know it's true, but I still can't believe it. What does he have? 3 sack flies in his career?
It's amazing, dude. I mean, this is a guy that hits. I mean, You hit that many home runs, like the way he puts the ball in the air and still, there's three outcomes. It's going to be a home run, a strikeout, or a walk, really.
And then this season, 213 strikeouts, hit 199, on base of 351, 38 and 77. Listen, he's got power. I'm not denying that. But I question, is the juice worth the squeeze with this guy?
See, but that's, again, when you looked at that lineup, I have a hard time believing that's an... Like, Aaron Boone can say what he wants to me. Like, you're trying to get the manager's job for the New York Yankees, and you're with Brian Cashman, and they're putting you through hours and hours of all these different, you know, meeting with analytics people, interviews, and everything. Like, of course, you're trying to get the job. So if you know something is as important to, you know, Brian Cashman as analytics, of course you're going to, because I'm sure he does to a certain degree believe in the analytics. But having played for as long as he's played, been a part of baseball for as long as he's been, and had a chance every single day to watch Joey Gallo and how he struggled, do you think he felt good about having Joey Gallo? I don't care what the numbers tell you. Joey Gallo batting cleanup?
No.
He couldn't have been.
No, you can't.
Like, at that point, it's like, okay, I understand matchups and swing paths and everything else, but the guy just right now, he stinks.
Right. And remember when they got him? Not only do we have him, but we're now locked in. Like, we now have another year on the deal and our left fielder, and there's no concerns. And I said this before, and I'll say it again. If Joey Gallo is batting seventh or eighth on your team, fine. When you have to put that kind of a bat in the middle of the lineup and really depend on him in a big spot, I don't at all.
But that's essentially what makes it a crapshoot, though. That's what makes postseason, in their minds, a crapshoot. That's what makes sometimes, you know, Brian Cashman's job a little bit more difficult, is that aspect of being a Yankee. Like, how is this guy under this kind of pressure going to perform? And that's a question they have to ask themselves with Joey Gallo. Like, can he handle being a Yankee?
He's never played in a big game before.
No, we just got a chance to see what it looks like when he does.
And it doesn't look good. Or it didn't look good. And it's a small sample size. But same situation next year. Will you feel confident with Gallo in a big spot?
No, of course not. Unless all of a sudden, I mean, he gets off to a crazy good start. Who knows? But that's something. I mean, that's one of the decisions they're going to have to make.
Yeah, it absolutely
There's
is.
There's a lot of questions that they have to answer this offseason.
And they're going to have to spend money. We discussed it yesterday. No more of this, you know, let's beat the Rays at their own game. Go out there and spend good money after bed.
Yeah, but why? But not even that. Like, why limit your biggest strength, though? Like, that's what I don't understand.
Because I think they look at it as, you know what? People look down on us, and there's a lot of, and I'm not saying it's right.
Who cares?
It's
jealousy. They're not looking down. They're jealousy.
No, but I think that there are a lot of people around baseball and say, yeah, anybody can go out there and buy a championship. But to build it like the Rays is different. And I think the Yankees want to be thought of like that. And the truth is, they just can't be.
The Rays do business the way the Rays do business because of necessity. And they're not choosing to do business like that.
I understand that. But you don't think that there's some Yankees front office people that hear the noise of, look at how other teams are able to do it. You can't do it like that. You don't think Cashman has tried to do it like that because of this?
Well, see, that's the feeling you get, is that, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, being in the shadow of his dad, but it does feel like clearly like that he's trying to win a different way than his dad. But at a certain point, I mean, you do have to win. Like Brian Cashman said, this isn't about championship. This is about championships. Well, you can't win championships unless you win the first championship.
That's right. And how about getting to the World Series? They haven't been to the World Series since 2009.
No, I know. But again, I mean, they're also the same team that was able to rebuild on the fly and continue to win.
Which is great. Which you take your hat off, and is very impressive. And 4 or 5 years ago, we were thrilled that the Yankees were able to do that. And Yankees fans were ecstatic. And they should have been. But now? I mean,
But go back to that, though. But do me a favor. Go back to that. Right, go back to when it was, you know, the exciting baby bombers, and, you know, Gary Sanchez bursts onto the scene, and Gleyber Torres bursts onto the scene, and it was all this excitement. Like, that's been one of the biggest issues with this team, and I said it yesterday, is the guys that you were relying on to be kind of like your new core four have now regressed. Outside of Judge, I mean, Torres is nowhere close to what he was.
Torres is average. Stanton
Sanchez
is
has been a guy.
Average.
I mean, he's been a humongous problem.
He's a defensive liability.
But he's never gotten back to that Kraken status that he was at.
Nope.
I mean, in big games, you're starting Kyle Higashioka.
It really is incredible.
Like, let's be all honest. Right. If Gary Sanchez is that good, I don't care what Garrett Cole tells me. Like,
this is your catcher.
Like, hey, Garrett, we appreciate it, but we also, I mean, as good as you are, we do need to score runs, and we have, I mean, one of the best offensive catchers in baseball. Like, we're going to use him. But they feel comfortable because he's not that same guy.
He's not the same guy.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Not once did I hear, Dave, I have zero reads today. Why don't you throw some on my plate? Not once.
Oh, it's a nice late day. I did the open. You know, Thursdays I have a lot going on.
Well, you do. I mean, between the open and the open, I mean, you don't really have time for much else.
The open, then I got to react to DHIF and Knobs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. You really have a lot on your plate.
How many Knobs have you sent? Have you sent RJ any Knobs to use today?
No.
Okay. Well, there you go.
What have you sent? A Knob?
No, we collaborate.
Oh. So you're heavily involved. What's your segment?
What? No, until RJ can do it.
No, it's your segment.
It was my baby, but then the baby grew up. It was like, you know, the baby, like the Will Ferrell skit where he comes out and he's a grown man. That's mm-hmm. kind of what it was. Yeah, I birthed it, and now it's moved
on. You think you could birth a baby?
No.
You don't think so?
No. One time. Well, heavily medicated, I could do it one time, but that would be it.
So
if men had to give birth.
If it was reverse and the man had to carry the baby, you would have one baby.
No, listen, I could deal with carrying it. The actual birth scenario?
See, I think the carrying would freak me out.
No, carrying it I could do.
Mm.
Well, I think I say that. I don't know. I mean, with the hormones and everything else, what our wives go through, what women go through is crazy. I mean, they're way tougher than men are. But I'll tell you what, the second I had that first one, it would be, okay, you're done with that, let's tie these tubes up. Never happening again.
See, you're so pathetic. You'd see the gift of life. You'd fall in love with this child, and you'd say, I'm done just because of 10 minutes of pain?
Dave, I accidentally swallowed a whole almond one time, and it came out sideways, and I almost tapped out. I almost tapped out one small almond.
The gift of life is of birth is bigger and better and more beautiful than anything. And you see these gorgeous children that you have, three of them, and you would deny yourself and your wife of that pleasure solely because you can't tolerate a little bit of uncomfortableness?
A little bit of uncomfortableness?
Yeah. Or a lot. Or
a
lot.
A little bit of uncomfortableness.
You know what? Here's what you do. You don't want to be one of these, bring the doula to the house. We'll do a water birth. No, that's craziness. But what you do is, I want every medicine you have. I don't remember what's going on, and I want the C-section.
I've witnessed two C-sections. I'm not signing up for two of them. I watched my wife went through. I'm all set.
You couldn't handle it.
No, you're right. I couldn't handle it.
So you are so scared of pain that you would deny yourself children.
No, I would have one child. I would have one.
Children is more than one.
No, I would have one child because
yes.
I don't know how women do it. I'm giving complete credit to my wife and to every woman that has birthed a baby. I don't know how that after two, the second one being a natural birth, that I witnessed all of it, every second of it. The pain, and then the instant the baby came out and they put Ella on her chest, she had a big smile on her face, that she could somehow forget all of that and ask to have a third one. I can't process that in my mind.
See, I think I'd be great at childbirth. I think I would be phenomenal.
You would be Such.
No!
You would be like Such, who passed out, and they had to give him medical attention while his wife was having
a
baby.
I am a great patient, and I was there. I watched them cut Sherry open. I took Ben out. I cut the cord. I'm not one
like
of those pass out. I'm not one of those pass out guys. I'm a rise to the occasion guy.
No, I think it's a little bit of... I've been through both.
Oh, look at what has happened.
I've been through both, and it's different. Like, the natural birth is different than the C-section.
I think I'd be... honestly, and I stand by this, I think I would dominate childbirth.
Open your head above water.
I might sing.
No, I can guarantee you would not dominate childbirth.
Open your head above
no chance.
Water.
I think you're wrong.
Good I think your
times.
Wife would punch you right in the face. Is
no.
what you would do.
They have those, don't they have those things that like kind of simulate labor pains and contractions?
I forgot we had
stuff.
A baby. Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah. I think we should do that with a challenge.
Well, I have one of the machines in my house.
Why would you possibly have a simulation machine?
Well, no,
house?
It's not a simulation machine. It's a stim machine. Like, you know, you ever heard, like, you got to go get rehab, ice and stim? Like,
I get stim all the time.
It contracts your muscle.
I love it.
Yeah. So you put that on and then you jack up the intensity.
And then you start floundering around like a fish out of water.
Well, then you can feel the muscle contraction.
Yeah, it'd be great. I'm telling you, I'd be great in childbirth. Great.
They sent us up one time, so Mike Comrie played with us on the Islanders. So he had, I want to say it's a wrist injury. So he had some kind of wrist injury, and they had this new treatment that was like the stim machine, but it was like the stim machine on the Big Hertz Nugenix plus, you know, steroids.
Right. So it was really over the top.
Oh, that dude, when I tell you, like, over the top. So he swore by it. Like, I've been doing this. My wrist feels great. So now, in typical Islanders fashion, it's like, well, if it worked for him, now we're going to send all these guys. So they send us out to Minnesota, like, where this thing was founded.
Right.
To go get treatment. So it was
the
like
Mayo
me.
Clinic?
No. I don't even know what it was. It was like all me. Right. It was Franz Nielsen. It was a bunch of guys. And when I tell you, I've never laughed so hard in my entire life. Watching guys get hooked up to this machine, like, you couldn't, it was so intense and so aggressive that you couldn't even stand up.
Like, did it fix your ailments?
No, I actually came back with like a partially torn ACL because of it. I couldn't walk.
Yeah, maybe
I couldn't
you're not
walk.
Meant for childbirth.
No. Dave, it was the funniest. Like, we still talk about it, how funny it was. And then you'd go into other people's rooms because you could hear the screaming and watch, like, these people getting ARP'd. It was the funniest thing you've ever seen
in
your entire
life.
These
guys were full-on, like, screaming when they were getting this treatment.
Dave, it was so intense. They'd be like, okay, ready, here it comes. And it would hit you. Like, we would count it down. 3, 2, 1, and then it would shut. And it'd be like, oh! And you would scream through it, and then it would release the muscle. It was hysterical, dude. It was hysterical.
But it didn't work.
I don't think it worked. I don't even think it worked. It was, my legs were so sore because of it. I'm telling you, I walked through the hotel, and it was Minnesota. Like, it was freaking freezing. So we're coming, like, you like trying to walk fast into the hotel because it was freezing outside. And because my legs were so weak, I kind of like one gave out, and I partially tore my ACL because of it.
Oh my God, you really are a baby.
Yeah, I'm a baby.
You really are.
I got the machine.
Baby.
When you come over for dinner, I'm going to
RP. Which is not going to happen. Wait,
no,
here's
now
what
it's
I
definitely
going to
happen.
We come over for dinner, we have a couple drinks, and then we play the game. Okay? Who can stay on the stim machine the longest at the highest level?
Okay, done.
Me, you, RJ,
done.
Ray.
Oh my, this is happening immediately. We got to record it too.
I cannot. Maybe we'll go on IG Live. Maybe we will Facebook Live stream this thing so people can see. I will dominate this set. I certainly will beat you.
I can guarantee that you lose.
Fourth of four?
I think you'll be fourth of four.
RJ's
yeah.
going to have the pain threshold of a child. There is no way. No chance.
I don't think you give RJ enough credit. RJ, he may be small in stature, but I think RJ will rise to the occasion.
And listen, I want it for the record to be understood that my wife dominated childbirth of something I could only hope to achieve one day if that were the position I was put in. But that being said, I think I'd be excellent in childbirth. Excellent. I forgot we had a baby.
See, I don't think that you make it through. I think you beg for a C-section. I think once you start pushing.
Once you get past the point of no return, there is no C-section.
Well, no, you can do an emergency C-section, yeah.
Well, but that's an emergency. Hopefully it wouldn't come to that.
Well, no, our first was, I mean,
stress.
Cassie tried to have the first, we've had Milo natural, and it wasn't happening.
Same with Sherry. They tried to induce natural childbirth.
And I'll tell you right now, was a blessing.
They had to cut her.
Because the size of that kid's head, when he came out, there was no chance. That would have done irreparable damage. Oh, goodness gracious. I couldn't even imagine.
Now I'm more excited for the dinner that it'll never happen than I've ever been. Like,
no,
I was
the dinner's definitely going to happen. The dinner is 100% happening, and I'm going to stim your face off is what I'm going to do.
There is no chance that the dinner is going to happen. All right. Do you guarantee the dinner happens by the end of the calendar year?
yes.
That gives us almost 2.5 months to
plenty
get this
of time. Plenty Great. Of time. We got a nice fall menu.
Great. Wonderful. All right. Let's go. Off of the I would be decent in childbirth conversation, a place you thought we were not going to go
today.
You didn't
say decent. You said you would dominate childbirth.
I think I'd be good. Not as good as my wife. She was incredible, but really good. What I wouldn't be as good at is just 9 months of walking around with another person in my body. That would not be good.
See, I think you would dominate breastfeeding. I can't get on the same page with the childbirth. Can't do it.
I would be great at all of it. But not the 9 months and then like the throwing up. I wouldn't be good with the throwing up. That I can't.
The morning sickness?
She threw up 9 months with Ben.
Oh.
Every single day. And everyone's telling her, don't worry. After 3 months, it'll get better. And like, you know, 3 months and 5 days, vomiting. 4 months, the whole way through. This poor woman. And she took it like a champ. She was so good. Never complained one time. Just incredible.
The women are amazing, man.
They're really amazing. I think I'd be excellent in childbirth. Excellent, excellent. All right, you know what else I'm excellent in? And RJ is great in. And you also, who are very well prepared. It's now time for Knobservations.
If you say something like this.
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this.
My best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are Knobservations.
Knobservations brought to you by Today No One, sadly.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
You got me all geared up. And I was like, oh, we have another sponsor, then we have nothing.
If anything else, this is a message out there. This could be your spot.
It's open.
Yep.
Yeah, but
it's open.
Here's the thing, though, too. I mean, they blatantly ripped off my Wakey Wakey Eggs and Bakey. Like, I don't know. They don't
Who
feel
did?
Bad about that.
Who did?
Wendy's.
Oh.
It's a morning show. Like, jump on board. Sponsor something.
You know what?
Welcome aboard.
They have sent us beautiful breakfasts at some point in the past.
You know what? I said to Ange actually yesterday, I would love one of those biscuits they have. I don't know why yesterday I wanted one, but I really did.
Those were
You want
good.
Some homemade biscuits at the dinner?
I'm in.
I make a delicious biscuit.
I love the biscuit.
Wendy's, we're talking to you. If you're out there.
Love the biscuit.
I'll incorporate the biscuit then.
I know you're out there. All right. You guys, you may even get to this a little bit later, but I want to whet the appetite here a little bit. I think at this point it's tough to say whether you are or aren't a Robert Saleh guy. He's still figuring out the head coaching thing. We're 5 weeks in, right? I'm generally a fan of him, but I think he tried to help here, and I think things actually got a little worse. He was talking about Zach Wilson, and there was a comparison, which is actually pretty close numbers-wise to Josh Allen through five games, and we all know what Josh Allen has become. So he was asked about Wilson's struggles, and here's where he took it.
It's not easy being a rookie quarterback. It never will be. It never has, never will be. If you look at, I'll just throw a guy out there, Josh Allen, who everyone wanted to throw away after his first 2 years. His first five games of his rookie year are damn near identical to what our young kid's going through. So he's going to get better. He's got tremendous arm talent. He goes through things the right way. And I know it can be frustrating sometimes. And we're looking at some of these things. It's like, God, he should be making these throws. But it's going to start clicking. Like I said, it's a roller coaster ride. You know, you're going to take the good with the good, the bad with the bad, and find ways to get better, and you will.
Now, the numbers are pretty close. Through five games, Allen had two touchdowns, five picks. He had a lot more rushing yards, but Wilson, four touchdowns, nine interceptions, and next to no rushing yards. They were sacked 18 and 19 times through five games. But I like Saleh generally, but I don't think he did Wilson any favors. That's a tough comp.
Well, now it's a tough comp. I mean, it's no tougher than what, I mean, Tony Romo was talking about. He reminds him of Pat Mahomes.
Well, I think that's
Rodgers.
Worse. That's even worse. But why? The guy is struggling so mightily. Josh Allen is at the top of his game. Why at this moment would you make that comparison?
Because Josh Allen's at the top of his game. And when you watched him in season one, it didn't look good. And he was struggling with the same kind of stuff. The inaccuracy and everything else. Now, they're not the same quarterback.
Do you understand how foolish you look if this kid doesn't turn really good?
I mean, go look at what Josh Allen did in season one. He completed less than 53% of his passes. I mean, that's what he's referring to. I don't think he's comparing, because Zach Wilson is not the same kind of quarterback that Josh Allen is.
He's half the size.
No, all he's saying is that, I mean, as bad as it looks now, he feels confident that it's going to turn itself around.
Listen, I hope it does. I don't want the kid to be
a bust. But there's no track record there. That's why you don't trust it, because there's no track record of the Jets doing it.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a little bit nervous, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's the situation as much as anything. I don't care what people say. I don't care how much talent the quarterback has. It's about the situation that the quarterback gets put into. And sometimes he's at the mercy of, you know, the GM, the coaching staff, the pieces they put around him. They've done everything right with Josh Allen, that team,
to develop him. They really have. A guy that things have not gone right for. Now, they're only in the preseason. But I bring you now to Charlotte and Dallas, a preseason basketball game. And you might wonder, well, why would you bring that up? Well, the Mavericks, they scored 127 points. It's pretty good. The Bobcats, they scored 59 points, which is not so good. That's a loss of 68 points. Now, you might still be saying, well, it's still preseason basketball. Who cares? Generally, I would agree with you. But James Borrego, the head coach of the Bobcats, he was asked about the loss, and this is troubling what happened afterwards, and here's how he answered.
A little bit of both. We couldn't score tonight. Dropped our heads defensively. We got a long way to go. Now it starts 0-0. Cleanse it. We move forward. Get ready for a good practice on Friday. We play on Wednesday.
A little bit of both. We couldn't score tonight. Dropped our heads defensively. We got a long way to go.
I get to hear myself. Now it starts 0-0. It's great. Great answer. Fantastic. That guy's pretty good. Just let him answer it.
That sums it up right there, right? That sums it up right there.
They were feeding his audio back to the Zoom room. So anything that went over the Zoom with the reporters was being fed back to the room immediately afterward.
Who are these Bobcats that you speak of, by the way?
I'm sorry. You're right. That's a mistake by me. Charlotte Bobcats are not a thing.
Oh, I didn't even realize that they're not a thing anymore.
I'm sorry.
They got beat so badly, they reverted back to the Bobcats.
Back to the Bobcats, old
they
times.
They sent the Bobcats, I'm not sorry. The Hornets.
The Charlotte Hornets, I'm sorry.
So if you
that's bad, I'm sorry.
On Stump Rothenberg, if I would have gotten the question of who is the head coach of the Charlotte Hornets, what's this guy's name?
James Borrego.
Did you know him?
He's been their coach for a few years.
Well, that's news to me.
Hmm. You better study up, buddy. Stop being so damn lazy.
Lazy, please. Yeah.
Don't call the Hornets the Bobcats either. That's a mistake. Another mistake that was made came from the Rangers yesterday, and there was no glaring mistake. It was just really on the scoreboard, unfortunately. Alex Ovechkin, a game-time decision, goes on to score twice. He's now number 5 all-time in the NHL in scoring, 732 career goals.
That's a lot.
So I want to go to our ESPN Network NHL analyst and insider, Mr. Rick DiPietro. What was it that went wrong last night, and was it simply that Wayne Gretzky was not featured more prominently on the coverage?
It was definitely not that Wayne wasn't featured prominently. I mean, I will say, too, the camera behind when Charles was in net, the net cam, that was like probably a little bit too much. It had too many breakdowns. I mean, you got guys, the third guy's high getting caught.
I've never seen a team that dumb in my life.
And then the other thing, too, is, I mean, you know, going against the Capitals, stay out of the friggin' penalty box. You can't give them power play opportunities. You give up 3 power play goals, plus it ended up being it's the end of your power play, but then a shorthanded goal too. It was not. I mean, that was, if you're a Rangers fan, that was not what you wanted to see.
Terrible.
A game like that.
Can we settle down a little bit? It was one game. They have their home opener tonight, and hopefully it will be remedied at the Garden, and we'll.
Yeah, but why is Shesterkin not playing that game? Can't play back to backs,
and that's what I wanted to say. You, I mean, he is your franchise goalie, and you're starting Gorgiev in goal. Come on,
it's been a long season so far.
It's a division game too. The home opener is not that important. Come on, dude.
But he can't play.
He
can't play last night and tonight. How old is he?
They don't believe in back to backs now for some reason.
Oh God.
Rangers home opener tonight, right here, 98.7, 6:30 pregame, puck drop at 7. The Isles are over on 10:50. They're down in Carolina against the Hurricanes. That's also a 7 o'clock puck drop. You guys alluded to this, I believe it was yesterday, Tuesday. J.R. Smith is now a collegiate athlete. He debuted over the weekend for North Carolina A&T on the golf team, and he played solid. He finished his round Tuesday in 7/78, which, you know, for a guy that's
not terrible.
Yeah, just decided he wanted to go play some golf.
I think he finished though 80. I think he was 81st out of 84 golfers. I think
that's not good.
I think that's correct, but he did beat some people, so that's something. But that's not why we bring you to the story. So he is searching for his ball, which has gone waywardly into the woods on the 12th hole. He comes in contact with a nest of bees or hornets, a combination of both, and the 36-year-old freshman, which he is, had to be sadly attended to by the medical staff, but he did go on to finish the round, and yes, I just confirmed it did finish 81st, which is not awesome.
So he was stung numerous times by
these insects? He stepped, he needed medical attention. He let that group play through.
Poor guy.
Yeah, that
they probably
sucked,
had to rush out Benadryl to him.
It happened to me one time. It wasn't bees. I went looking for my ball and I found it, but not realizing that I was picking it up in poison ivy. And then, of course, I'm in the woods and I'm like, you know, I'll go to the bathroom quick while I'm in the woods.
Oh, and you touched your thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a treat that keeps giving the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully it wasn't the Charlotte Hornets and not the Charlotte Bobcats. You don't want to run into the Bobcats. All right, we move on. Raymond?
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
What an intro that is. It brings us perfectly to today's story. So if you were in an airport recently,
yeah,
maybe Raymond Santiago saw this on his way home. May have been minding your own business. At 5 a.m., maybe this woman is up listening to our show, which we appreciate.
I'm sure she is.
So she's somewhere minding your own business if you're just a patron of the airport, and you just happen to see this woman parade by nude at 5 a.m. at one of the gates. And if that weren't enough, she actually sat down next to passengers, made her way kind of through the the variety of people hanging out, and was caught numerous times asking, "How are you doing? Where are you from?" As if nothing was wrong.
Where did she put her ticket?
That's a great question. How do you get... Because she's through. She's through security. She's at the gates.
Now, did she go through security naked?
No.
Maybe to save time?
No.
Or was she clothed and then she you know... Declothed after she made it through.
That's right. That's right. Uh-huh. And so police show up and they whisk her away in a blanket. They throw a blanket over just and take her away as she was maniacally laughing. So I ask you, did this nude woman that potentially was listening to this show at 5 a.m. somewhere, did it happen in Florida?
So you're asking if the incident took place in Florida?
The airport.
Was the flight on the way to Florida? What are you looking for?
I'm looking for the airport. The physical airport. Location of the event in question.
Uh-huh. How you feeling,
Where did
Rick?
She put the cell phone if she's listening to the app, too? That's another question.
That's a great question.
Technology's a great thing.
She carries it. Well, yeah. She carries it free.
In her
How
hand?
Come I never get to see stuff like this at the airport?
Dude, I'm telling you what. I mean, you ever see some of the videos of what's going on in the city right now?
Yes.
Some of the craziness?
Yes. Boy, I don't really have a great feel for this one.
I'm leaning not. I'm just so you know, I'm leaning not Florida.
I'm leaning not also, and I'm even thinking. Artie didn't say this is a domestic airport, right? This could be international.
Well, I didn't say.
Well, what's
anything.
The end game though by getting naked? Other than you're going to get arrested? I don't.
Maybe good. She's looking for first class.
Yeah, good time.
Right? Like exhibitionist, like she just likes people seeing her naked, maybe.
Did they determine whether she was inebriated or some kind of drug was ingested?
The term intoxicated was used in the article.
Okay. I'm going to say not Florida.
Yeah, I concur. I'm going not Florida.
All right, Raymond.
This could have been Santiago. You never know.
It wouldn't shock me. Please. He was tweeting from the airport.
Great.
The airport is much like Jerry's World. Oh, what a place this is.
They had a Cowboys-themed bar with the TV set up like the scoreboard. It was amazing.
If
drugs had been involved, I probably would have said this was Florida, but I'll say not Florida.
You guys are so good at this.
Yes.
Now, it did happen in this country. It happened.
Oh, really?
Probably not a place I would have thought. Denver. Denver International Airport.
Oh, it's the drugs. It's the marijuana. That's what it is.
You think that's it?
I'm sure of it.
All right. Well, that concludes today's festivities.
You're very good. You really are.
I mean,
well done.
I called the Hornets the Bobcats,
great. It added
no,
to it.
No, but those are fun. And you gave us the name of the coach. What's his name? Jim Borrego?
You could call him Jim. Yeah, James.
James Borrego?
You guys are close. You can call him Jim.
Okay.
He's been the coach there for like 3-4 years.
I don't care if he's been there for 75 years. I didn't know who he was.
It's one of Pop's guys, I think.
You know this. He's a fringe. He's a fringe NBA fan.
I don't do anything well. We know this. I don't know much.
Except
I
give can't... birth, apparently. You'd be
well,
excellent.
I've never done that. Excellent in childbirth. I'm confident that I would be able to birth the child without much issue, yes.
You have a hockey show. That's something.
Yeah. Hopefully that returns.
The question is now becoming less how does Sherry tolerate you and more how does she not punch you in the face daily?
What the hell is wrong with you?
To downplay the childbirth.
When did I ever downplay it? When did I ever say anything negative?
You said it was 10 minutes of pain at one point.
When did I gave her tremendous credit. I said what she did was incredible and she did it better than I possibly could have dreamed to do it. Did I not say that?
You literally said it was 10 minutes of pain.
Well, because I want to be all drugged up. I want IVs in both arms and I want the good stuff. I'm not going to be one of these doula in a bathtub. I'm not going to be that guy.
I'm actually qualified, too. My certificate does say doula, too, if you need me.
Great. I don't think you could handle delivering a child.
Oh, by the way, how about this? And I know, I apologize, RJ, for this, but so I'm watching Dancing with the Stars. Cass is going to be watching Dancing with the Stars. So Iman Shumpert's on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh.
You realize he delivered both his children?
Yeah, both. Yeah, I don't know that I could do that.
Yeah, after the first one, he's like, yeah, she started having contractions. We thought we could get through the night, boom.
And they intent was not, we'll do it at home and just have fun and deliver a child. The intent was, we'll get to the hospital. They just couldn't.
Yes.
Gotcha.
So that happened the first time, and then happens again the second time.
Wow. That's just bad luck.
That's crazy.
That's bad luck.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.